So we're in batch number three now, and we have some more stories for you. It's Tim and Liz of Local News and Features, Update Talking New Stoke. And Lizzie's headlines are...
Police statement after children killed by mum hours after custody release. And then this is related, it's the same story. Heartbroken dads moving tribute to children murdered by their own mum.
And my headlines coming up are Stoke mum sees home destroyed by a devastating blaze and tributes pour in for an amazing, talented signal stalwart. So going over to Liz, who's going to do the first story for us in batch number three.
Police statement after children killed by mum hours after custody release. Police chiefs say the force will strive to make significant progress in domestic abuse cases after a mum killed her own children hours after being released from custody. It comes as a coroner has concluded how siblings Ethan John, aged 11, and sister Elizabeth, 7, were unlawfully killed in their Stoke home. The brother and sister were stabbed by their mother, Veronique John, at the Flack Street address on the 11th of June 2023. Mrs. John was handed an indefinite hospital order last year for the killings. She was subject to a trial of facts in Nottingham Crown Court after being found unfit to plead. An inquest into the deaths of Ethan and Elizabeth concluded at Stoke Civic Centre. Their father, Nathan John, was present for all 3 days of the hearing this week. Police were called to the family home on the 9th of July by Mrs. John, who said she wanted her husband out of the house, and the children told officers they had heard arguing but had not seen an altercation taking place. Mr. John contacted police later that day to say he had been assaulted by his wife. Mrs. John was arrested and taken into custody on the evening of the 10th of June, where she admitted slapping her husband but denied making any threats to kill him. The incident was dealt with through a community resolution notice, and she was able to return home in the early hours of the 11th of June. Mr. John left the home on her return, but that afternoon his wife came to his workplace and stabbed him and said she had killed the children. She called the police shortly after 2 p.m. and they found the children at the family home. Paramedics also attended but were unable to save Ethan and Elizabeth, and they were pronounced dead. Staffordshire Police referred the matter to the Independent Office for Police Conduct, that's the IOPC, and it was returned for local investigation by the Force's Professional Standards Department. The review found service levels in some aspects had been inadequate, the inquest heard. Mr. John should have been seen within 2 hours of reporting the alleged assault by his wife on the 9th of June, but officers did not visit him at his workplace until the following day. According to police guidelines, a community resolution notice should not have been issued in a domestic violence case involving people who had been in an intimate relationship. Inspector Bruce Wilkinson told the inquest this week he later realised he had applied the notice in error. He explained he had wanted to create a record of the incident and show Mr. John that he was being listened to and give him the confidence to contact police again if he needed to. It was previously questioned if there had been any gender bias in handling the case. Coroner Emma Serrano said she did not find any evidence of gender bias, however. I have found 4 officers able to give very good evidence of the decisions they made and the way they made them, she said. We have had no evidence that the reasons for those decisions were because of the fact Veronique John was a woman, not a man. I accept the community resolution notice should not have been used. I cannot be satisfied on the balance of probabilities. If the community resolution notice had not been used, things would have been different. I am satisfied police are in the process of putting in place things that will reduce the risk of this happening in the future. It was completely unpredictable. Mr. John told the inquest, I honestly believe that no one could have foreseen what Veronique was going to do to Ethan and Elizabeth. I do not feel that anyone is to blame other than Veronique. I am happy that the police have identified issues with the case and that they have implemented learning, so no other family will hopefully go through what I have. Speaking after the hearing, Detective Chief Superintendent Sally Blakelock from Specialist Crime Command at Staffordshire Police said, "The deaths of Ethan and Elizabeth were truly devastating. Our thoughts remain with Mr. John and his family and all those affected by this loss over the last 2 years. Mr. John has been supported by our specialist officers and continues to be. We will always strive to make significant progress in improving how we investigate and support all victims and children in domestic abuse cases."
Okay, so my first story for us now in batch number three is Stoke Mum sees home destroyed by a devastating blaze. Family have been left really devastated after an inferno ripped through their Stoke home, leaving them to rebuild their lives from scratch. Flames took hold of the terrace house on Boothen Road at the end of July following a washing machine fault. Living at the address was a single mum along with her three children. Thankfully, the family escaped unscathed, but firefighters had to stage a dramatic rescue to save two cats and five kittens. Now, a close family friend has launched an online fundraiser to help them rebuild their shattered lives. It reads, "I'm reaching out with a heavy heart to ask for your support for someone incredibly dear to me, my best friend, who, along with her children, has just experienced something no family should ever have to go through. Earlier this week, their home was destroyed by a sudden and devastating fire. In a matter of moments, everything they had, clothes, furniture, children's belongings, memories, was lost. Thankfully, they all made it out safely, but they've been left with nothing but the clothes that they were wearing. She is the most selfless, loving person I know, always the first to help others and the last to ask for help herself. Now it's our turn to support her. As a single mum trying to hold it all together for her children, she's facing an uphill battle to rebuild their lives from scratch. No donation is too small, and if you can't give right now, please consider sharing this page to help spread the word. Every kind gesture means the world to this family in such a dark time." A Staffordshire Fire and Rescue spokesperson said that five crews have rescued two cats and five kittens from a house fire in Stoke-on-Trent. "We were called at 11:40 a.m. on Thursday, the 24th of July, to Boothen Road in Stoke, following reports of smoke coming from a house. These appliances attended the scene and used breathing apparatus and a hose reel jet to extinguish the fire. Nobody was reported injured. Crews rescued two cats and five kittens from the property, and they were given oxygen at the scene before being taken to the vets as a precaution. The fire was deemed to have been caused accidentally by a washing machine fault." Over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us in batch number three.
Heartbroken dad's moving tribute to children murdered by their own mum. The father of two children killed by their mother at their Stoke home has said he lost the two most important and precious persons in my life at once that day. Nathan John told of son Ethan's love of hugs and his friendly nature, while daughter Elizabeth was bright and bubbly and protective of her older brother, in moving pen portraits read out at their inquest. Ethan, 11, and Elizabeth, 7, suffered fatal stab wounds at their home in Flax Road, Stoke, on the 11th of June, 2023. Postmortems carried out after their deaths revealed Ethan had received 21 sharp force injuries, including wounds to his neck and chest, and injuries to his hands indicated he may have attempted to defend himself. Elizabeth sustained a traumatic head injury and was found to have a skull fracture. Her main cause of death was a wound to the neck. Mr. John left the room at Stoke Civic Centre while details of his children's postmortems were read out. He was also stabbed at his workplace by his wife on the same day she murdered their children. In a statement read out at the inquest by Coroner Emma Serrano, Mr. John said, "Ethan was my firstborn. Caring, fun-loving and kind-hearted. He had a smile that would warm your heart, and he loved giving and receiving hugs. After coming to the UK and discovering he was autistic, he eventually settled at Kemble School, and it was at this school he started to blossom. He loved maths and received Mathematician of the Year certificates. He was friends with everyone at school and had an intimate group of friends. He loved watching cartoons and playing video games. Elizabeth was born here in the UK and she was treated like a princess. Family back in St Vincent never got to meet her because she never went home before she was killed. She had a very bright and bubbly personality and loved girly things like sparkles, unicorns, dolls, pink and purple. She was obsessed with the movie Frozen. She loved watching cartoons with her brother, during which they laughed together, and she was very loving and protective towards her brother. She knew almost everyone at school and loved reading. Her school has honoured her with a Sunshine Day every year since and a Sunshine Room because her smile lit up the room. Mr. John also spoke in his statement of how his son and daughter's deaths had affected him. He said, "On the 11th of June, my whole world was turned upside down. I lost the two most important and precious persons in my life at once. Especially hurtful was the one person meant to love them as much as I did, brutally and viciously took their lives. The true victims of this heinous crime cannot give a statement. I regretted I couldn't do anything to prevent it happening. Words cannot describe the acts committed on that dark day. It's horrific." Mr. John had raised concerns earlier that weekend his wife would use the children against him. He reported to police that he had been hit by his wife on the 9th of June. Officers were told she had assaulted him with a wooden bed slat and she had threatened to stab him in his sleep. Mrs. John was arrested at home later that day and taken into custody for questioning, where she admitted she had slapped her husband but denied making any threats to kill. She was able to return home in the early hours of the 11th of July. Mr. John went to another address and his wife was left at home with the children. That afternoon she called police and told them she had killed the siblings. An inquest found the children were unlawfully killed. Now, I've got to say, before Tim reads, there's a discrepancy there because it says June the 9th. And then it says July the 11th, but it was all over 2 days, so that's wrong. But I don't know whether it was June or July.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, so I have a moving tribute now as tributes pour in for an amazing talent from Signal Radio. In the past, tributes have poured in for an amazing talented broadcaster who entertained North Staffordshire listeners for 3 decades. Today, and various stations have been quick to share their memories of Signal One and Signal Gold stalwart Doug Wood. Doug was part of the launch team of presenters at Signal in 1983 and stayed there for 31 years. He later joined Morland's Radio and the Hit Mix and founded the Radio Ship, an online station that paid tribute to British offshore radios from the past. It is believed that Doug passed away on Wednesday, July 30th, following an illness. Stoke-on-Trent Live interviewed Doug back in 2017 when he was living in Mere Park. We reported how he'd been working for the campaigning pirate station, the Voice of Peace, in the Middle East, before he moved to North Staffordshire. He told us, "I came back in 1983 and joined Signal right at the start. I was there at the same time as people like Mel Scholes. It was a very exciting time. We were allowed to play what we wanted, but you couldn't get your hands on a lot of things. It was all vinyl then, and we were all trying to get a record collection. I went back to Kent to get all my records. We used to go out to record fairs looking for music to play. That first year, the station nearly went under. There was a story in the Sentinel saying it was about to close. One night, we were told that if we came in the morning and there were chains on the doors, we should just go home. But a deal was struck and we carried on. At the time, there was only really Radio Stoke. Radio 1 was only on medium wave and the reception was terrible, so we really did shoot things up in the area. Scores of tributes have been paid to Doug across social media, with friends and former colleagues branding him an amazing DJ and one of the best broadcasters they'd worked with. A post on the Hitmix Facebook page stated that we're very sad to share the news of our friend and former colleague Doug Wood, who's passed away this week after a short diagnosed illness. A great loss to the world of radio and the world in general. Reunited with his beloved wife Lynn, our thoughts are with his family and loved ones. Rest in peace, Doug. Blue Sky Radio wrote, "It's with great sadness that we have learned of the passing of our former colleague Doug Wood, an amazing, talented broadcaster, a fantastic human being. We're all thinking of his family and loved ones." Okay, so over to Liz for her final story. I was winding you up, actually. Keep listening, and we're going to have more stories coming up in our final batch number 4, and keep listening for Liz's one and only quiz answers.